We've been talking about the Beatitudes, and we are to Matthew 5, verse 6. So I'll get you up to speed there by reading it so that you can get a little more of the picture. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We talked about that, our dependency. The world needed a Savior. We need a Savior. Our dependency, our desperate need for him that he has given us, freely given us. And now ours is the kingdom of heaven because of what our Savior did and our acceptance of it. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We spent a Sunday on that. We're going to allow ourselves to be comforted. We have a Savior. We have a Comforter in the Holy Spirit. We're going to allow ourselves to be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. John taught on this last week. For they shall inherit the earth. And the meek is, meek is a position of the heart. It's a very teachable spirit. There's two men that I could think of in the Bible just right off the top of my head that were called meek. One was Moses and one was Jesus. And as John said, meek doesn't mean weak. As if we're talking about Moses and Jesus, that's a pretty good example of quiet strength, right? John did a great job on that last week. Now we're to verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. A lot of our songs that we sang today had to do with that. I noticed it in the words just because of our study. But this word blessed, we talk about it every week. It means supremely blessed. It means happy. It uses the word fortunate, but sometimes I think we take a negative look at the word fortunate. But blessed, blessed, extremely blessed and happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst. Let's just pick it. We pick things apart word by word around here. Hunger and thirst. It means to crave and to seek with eager desire. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. To crave and seek with eager desire. Do you know that those who hunger and thirst feel their need? F-E-E-L. They feel it. When you hunger and thirst, when you're craving something, when you're craving something to the place that you are eagerly seeking after it, you feel that. Have you ever been hangry? Have you ever been thirsty? I think of that song, that old song, "As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs for you." And you know, if we read this and you go, "I don't know that I have that hunger and thirst," pay really close attention to that, because when I started thinking about this, people who hunger and thirst feel the need. They know that they need. They know they're not satisfied. They're feeling dissatisfaction. They're uncomfortable. When you're hungry and thirsty, you're uncomfortable. And we could go all negative with this, but I want us to realize that being hungry and thirsty is a sign of life. Because I've been through the last stages of this earthly life with several people. And one of the first things that goes away is their hunger and thirst. So if you're not hungering and thirsting, I want you to wake yourself up this morning and say, this is a danger sign right here. If I'm not hungering and thirsting, then something in me is dying. And the scripture gives a real simple answer for that. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You pick that Bible back up. You go start reading about Jesus. You go start reading the writings of Paul. You start falling in love with your Savior again. And just see if that hunger and thirst doesn't stir back up in the inside of you again. So if I'm not hungering and thirsting, well, I just don't feel that way. And I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do my study. I really wanted to clap real loud right there, but I hate to wake somebody up. Well, never mind. Pay attention if you're not hungering and thirsting. We go through seasons, right? Even in our earthly eating and drink, we go through seasons where we're hungrier. And you know what we call that? Look, I've got 6 grandkids. They will eat you out of the house. They are in a constant stage of hunger and thirst. I fed Jet so much yesterday, I was just wondering, where can it go? Then I found out. I mean, they're just hungering and thirsting. You know what we call that? Growth spurt.
Yes. Come on. Amen.
Now you just apply that. If I'm not hungering and thirsting, I'm not growing.
That's good.
That's true.
I'm at a stalemate. I'm at a plateau. I need to wake myself up. I don't want to be in the stage of life where there is no hunger or thirst. And you say, but this finishes by saying, for they shall be filled. Yep. Filled, 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 filled. Filled. Not filled, period. Not filled once. But it's part of our growth. Being hungry and thirsty is a sign of life. Needing more is a sign of maturity. The scripture talks about us going from milk to meat, Alicia, from simple things about, I say simple things, they're none of them simple, they're all necessary. But salvation and then learning how to disciple people. And there's this growth of food going from milk to meat. But all of it is necessary to sustain our life. So needing more is a sign of maturity. If you're feeling dissatisfaction, see it for what it really is, a wake-up call. Dissatisfaction can be part of growth and it can be part of breakthrough. Hey, what's going on the inside of me? The psalmist did it. He was like, why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I will yet. See, he turns it around and he goes from, hey, I'm dissatisfied. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not happy. I'm not feeling this blessed word right here, then that needs to be a moment where we go, oh, I will yet praise him. And the psalmist starts turning that around. I love this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. I think we need to look at it in a very positive way, that because the prerequisite for being filled is being hungry. The prerequisite for being filled is being hungry, in this case, hungry and thirsty. And I think so many times we and others try to fill that hunger with something else. Contentment is not a word that our society understands. We're trying to fill it with other things. When truthfully, we're just spiritually hangry. We're just hangry. Yep. Jesus addressed this with the woman at the well in John 4. And y'all, if you see all the fishing people get up and leave, just know they're headed out to watch their kids, okay? So y'all leave when you need to, all right? Security team, don't freak out. They're just going to, okay. One of our head of security was drinking an energy drink this morning. I was like, oh, Lordy, I hope nobody tries to pull anything today because he is. Don't mess with this church. John 4, verse 10. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. We're not going to read the whole account. We're just going to kind of go where we need to go to today. But I want to encourage you to go back and read it in context, okay? Jesus is talking to this woman, and he's asking her for, you know, water from the well. And he answered her, and he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He said, if you would have known what the gift of God and who it is that's asking you for a drink, which was Jesus, then you would have asked me, Jesus, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus answered and said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is a continual watering. It's a continual watering. We just got to remember to tap into it. And I know yesterday I was tired. I was give out. I had more things happen than I planned on happening. And this morning I was like, oh, I forgot to tap in. I forgot to tap in. Do I not know that this gift from God, the one who's speaking to me in his word, is constantly offering me this living water, and that it can spring up in me and become a spring of water? Am I the only one that forgets to tap in to the? Okay, just checking. I wish you would have said yes. But we've got to remember. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And he told her, go and call your husband and come back. He located her. And then he made her realize her thirst. This morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit is making you realize all of this dissatisfaction, this uncomfortableness, this spiritual hangriness, that he's locating us this morning and he's saying, come on, come on. And when he said, go call your husband and come back, he was locating her. He's helping her locate herself. What was going on in her? He's not calling out her sin for the sake of calling out sin. He's calling out her thirst and saying, I'm the living water. I'm the living water. And about this time, his disciples come back in verse 31, and they try to get Jesus to eat something. And they say, you know, Rabbi, eat something, in verse 31. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Don't you love that? Here we got thirst, we got living water, and here we got food. We're hungering and thirsting. Jesus said, I've got food you know nothing about. I've got a living water that you really, what you've been thirsting for, that you've been trying to fulfill with everything else. And you never had a satisfied life, or maybe you're just having a dissatisfying moment. You're thirsty. You're hungry. You're thirsty. Verse 33 says, then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Because they're thinking he's talking about, I went to McDonald's and you boys didn't know it. Because Jesus said, I've got food to eat that you know nothing about. And they're like, somebody bring him food? No, Jesus said in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Let's just apply that to ourselves. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You're never going to be satisfied until you walk in the will of God for your life. Amen. Yeah. I know that sounds so simple, but it's just so true. It's just so true. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. I just don't know what God wants me to do. He's looking at you and he's saying, I got a whole field of people out there that don't know me as the Savior of their life. You got plenty to do. We've got plenty to do. We don't have to have a title on our door to do it. We don't have to have an ordination service to do it. We don't have to have a house full of people to do it. We don't have to have 110 fishermen in here to do it. You can go to the weigh-in and do it. If they don't come here, you go to them. Jesus didn't wait for the woman at the well to come to him. He went where she was, where she normally went. And there he met her need, and he gave her a drink of living water. He gave her, you know how he told her who he was. He didn't do that with a lot of people. And she said, well, I know Messiah. And he's like, he who you're talking to, I'm him. He did. He was giving her something that she could drink off of for the rest of her life. And she went back into the city and she told all the people who were quite acquainted with who she was that there was a man of God, that he was a prophet, and that he told her everything that she had ever done. She believed in him, and when she went to telling them, they believed her and they went to meet Jesus. The living water spread. She received it and she took it and she gave it out. And then his disciples came and he told them what the food was. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. I just feel like that's for some of us in the house today. One or the other or both. I realize they both are, but look. Don't complicate what the will of God is in your life. Don't complicate it. What's the last thing he told you to do? What's the last thing that you felt like, hey, I ought to, let's just bake a cake and send it over to so-and-so's house. Don't overcomplicate the will of God. It might not be some grand announcement. It might be just something on the inside of you directing you to do something, just this feeling that you should do something. The women of this house who sent, we ask for desserts. Y'all, they got so many desserts over there, they don't even know what to do with all of them. They're taking snack boxes to the boys at the weigh-ins, and they're leaving food for youth, I think, over there. So, glory to God, right? Glory to God, said the youth pastor. Youth, and the youth pastors. Y'all had so many. Kayla just heard that they liked her brownies and she baked more. Do you know that you're doing the will of God? Amen. Yes. In loving people and showing people that come into our community the love of God? Don't overcomplicate this. This is your food. Yes. To do the will of God. That to do what Jesus would do, that is your food. You'll be weak without it. You'll be dissatisfied without it. You'll be hangry without it. You'll be discontent without it. Can it get any simpler than that? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We all want to feel filled. We all want to be fulfilled. And Jesus is telling us how. I can't think of a better passage. We'll go to it here in a minute. Let's talk about the word righteousness, because we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's not just hungering and thirsting for anything. It's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And these just came from the concordances, the Greek concordances. Righteousness means uprightness. We like to say it this way, right standing with God. Conformity to His will and purpose. Me conforming to His will and purpose. I liked this one. I'd never read this one. I think this one might have been in Vines, but it could have been Thayer's. The state of him who is such as he ought to be. me as I ought to be. According to the standards of God. Me as I ought to be. Another one said, whatever conforms to the revealed will of God. Do I conform to the revealed will of God? God, what's your will? I will conform to your will. That is righteous. Amen. That is righteous. So we have a lot of things that we think righteousness is. Another word used by Strong's is justification. And if you've come here for those 40 years that Barb brought out, then you probably can hear my dad say justification is just as if you've never sinned. Justification, just as if you've never sinned. Now, we try to work for this, but that's not the point of this passage. We don't work for righteousness. We do the works of Christ because we have been made righteous in His righteousness. It's not a self-earned righteousness. It's a received righteousness. And because we've received Jesus' righteousness, His right standing with God, and we are in Christ before the Father God. That's why we're Christians. We're sons and daughters of God. That changes what we do. It changes what we do. We have the works of righteousness. We have fruit from our righteousness. And see, this is the difference between religion and Christianity. Because religion wants you to work for it and earn it. Jesus says, here it is, it's my gift. If you receive me, you receive my righteousness. You receive my right standing before the Father. And when you start seeing the importance of that, then it changes what we do. And grace gives us the space to grow and to learn and to walk out what He's got. I want to give you scripture for this in Romans 5. I want to encourage you, if you don't, which I don't either fully understand righteousness, it's a work in progress, but if you need more on righteousness, just read the book of Romans. Okay, just read the book of Romans and look for this, because it's a beautiful word. Romans 5, I'm going to jump down to verse 17, okay? Please read above. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Who was that? Who was the one man who had offense and death reigned by him? Adam, right? For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more. Circle that. I just want you to know, we have a much more kind of God. He is not going to be outdone by evil or by sin. We have a much more kind of God. Better yet, Father. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, circle that, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Amen. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. It has to be received. The gift has to be received. Right. Now, Coach Charles brought me a nifty little cooler so I could sport the LSU Shreveport emblem. It was a gift. If I had paid him for it, if I had worked for it, it would no longer be a gift. It's a gift. I received it. When Jesus did what he did, he did it for me. He did it for me. And he gave me the gift of right standing, which is why the scripture says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can enter and talk to the Father God ourselves. We don't have to back in. We come in Christ's righteousness that is now we have received. Y'all, if I can only approach God when I'm perfect, He'd be lonely up there. He wouldn't be lonely. But you get what I'm saying? He would be like, where's Susan? Well, I'd be waiting to be good enough to approach his throne. Thank you, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for being perfect, for fulfilling the law, for fulfilling its requirements, and letting me in on your righteousness so that I can approach a holy God. Oh, we don't, y'all said you didn't thank the pastor enough. We don't thank God enough. We don't thank Jesus enough. Oh my goodness. If you're ever in a religion where you can't approach God, you're in the wrong religion. Christianity's beautiful. We receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, and we'll reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus, the free gift. You think he wants you to understand? Free gift. Free gift. By the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You've been justified if you've received Jesus Christ. Justified. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Don't hunger and thirst after your past. Don't hunger and thirst after the shame. Don't hunger and thirst after condemnation. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. We live out of that righteousness, and until we do, nothing else will satisfy or fulfill or kill what's bothering you on the inside. Nothing else will do it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. I love this word, filled. Nathan, when I looked it up, I think it was in the Strong's, when the first words that it gave was gorged. I like we felt Thursday night after eating the Cajun food. Yeah. Gorged. You will be filled. It means gorged, supplied in abundance and satisfied. Christianity is the life. Not that we're satisfied like we receive Christ, period, said and done, and we don't ever do anything else, but we hunger and thirst after the things of God. We hunger and thirst after the things of God. We never want to get to a place where we quit growing. So we've got to keep hungering after his word and thirsting after his presence. And love our relationship with him. We've got to go to Matthew 6. And I'm going to read it to you out of the New King James Version just because it flows a little better off my lips and it doesn't lose anything. We're going to pick up in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and anything else. It's God, right? It's God. He's the one that we serve. Verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Can I just ask you this morning, what are you worried about? I don't want you to say it out loud unless you just really feel the need. But what's causing the rumbling? What's causing the rumbling? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? What are you worried about? What's got you in discontentment? What's bothering you? And then go out this afternoon, look at you a couple of birds, and read this scripture out loud. Are you not more valuable than they? Do you think God does not see you? If you think God does not see you, you're wrong. You may not be listening. You may not be looking up. But know this, God sees us, and that's a good day. As he's either correcting us or and blessing us with that correction, I'm not afraid of his correction. His correction is out of love. In fact, he said, if he's not correcting me, consider myself a bastard. We're not without a father. He does see us. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I've tried this. It didn't work well for me. I'm still the same height I was, so I wear heels. But, you know, he's like, you're trying to change something here. Why are you worrying? Can worrying change anything? What you're fretting over, what you're in turmoil over, is it changing anything? No. No, it's not. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. You hear me, church? Therefore, do not worry. Therefore, stop it. Stop it. Am I worrying? I don't know. You know. I know. Me. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That's what they're seeking. That's what the non-believer is seeking. To change, for these outside things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Everybody say, he knows.
He knows.
Oh, how refreshing is that to say it out loud? He knows. He knows these outside things. But you, use the understood subject here, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Right standing with God, his will being brought out in our lives, him getting glory from what we're doing in our lives. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, the outside comes after what we've done on the inside. And sometimes we get so busy working at outside things that we forget this seeking him, this hungering and thirsting after him, it's a heart condition. Yeah. This seeking and thirsting after righteousness, the things of God, that's a heart condition. Oh, we can look, pastors can be, and leadership of the church, all of y'all who do around here. It's real easy to do and to be busy. But if the heart's not right, then that's not seeking and thirsting after righteousness. And that's not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to get the heart condition right, and then the out things start working. The inside starts working its way out. And maybe that's where we need to be sometimes. And we just need to sit down and say, why am I so busy? Because I don't need to just be busy. I need to be productive. We need fruit, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is a long way to say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I just want to speak that word into your hearts this morning and believe that if you are in an unfulfilled stage in your life, that you will let it wake you up. Amen. And say, oh no, this is not how I'm finishing my days. I'm going to stir back up in me my love for my Savior and what he's done for me. I'm going to walk back into that place of realizing that he has handed me the gift of righteousness, and I have received it. And I'm going to seek hunger and thirst and seek after that place of living in that righteousness that he has given to me. Father, what will you have me to do? Amen. Father, what will you? And that is the most fulfilled life we could ever live. I think about Paul. A lot of his ministry was done from the jail cell. He really took away a lot of our excuses, didn't he? But when he was done, he was fulfilled, finished his race. And that's where we all want to be at every stage of our life. Just, y'all stand. Father, we just bring before you any dissatisfaction, any worries. And Father, we're going to turn that into a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, for your will. Father, your will is the safest place for us to be, for our body, for our soul, for everything. Father, being in your will is the safest, most satisfying place for us to be. So we bring any unsatisfaction, and we say we're going to turn that into a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Not a hunger and a thirst for complaining, not a hunger and a thirst for quitting, not a hunger and a thirst for retirement, but Father, just a hunger and a thirst for your will be done in our lives. We find peace in your word. We find peace in your word. You have spoken to us through your word today, and we hear you. We hear you. Just Holy Spirit, you're the teacher of the church. You're the minister of truth, and we just ask that you take this word and break it down into individual lives in this place. Just break it down into each person's life right here, right now. Start showing us things as we meditate on your word. Start showing us things. And Father, if we're in your will, then Father, just show us the next thing, or where we might have missed it, where we need to pick back up. Father, we know you're at work in our lives. We know that you have a future and a hope, that you have a plan for us. And we just lay the complaining aside so there's room for instruction. There is room for instruction and revelation. We thank you, praise you for it. Is there anybody here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and you want to? It is the most fulfilling life. We talk about hungering, thirsting, but it is like hungering and thirsting for the best thing and being filled by it and fulfilled by it, satisfied by it. All right, then let's grow. Let's be hungry and thirsty enough to grow. Amen.